Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party is already started.
Coffee, James.
Thank you, Larry.
It's the best part of the...
I try.
It's the best cup of coffee I could get out in these parts.
I guarantee you. There's some water out there in the road.
Yeah.
I don't know if it did much for coffee.
Oh.
That was Larry's typical way of trying to pay somebody a compliment.
I thought it was a compliment. It's pretty good coffee.
It's a little better than the mud. I can find out here in these woods.
Yeah, it's just a little better than the mud over there in the ditch. It's good. It's good.
Oh, it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see anything there you want to talk about?
Well, I'm looking through. This is your copy of The Passion. And I do notice that in things that you've underlined and circled that help words stand out, you've circled the word plan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe even more times.
That's chapter 1.
Yeah, six times at least in chapter 1. And I do like the way that the Passion Translation uses that term to bring to the awareness of our mind that God's working a plan. He had a plan. He's still on plan A. He didn't have to go to plan B when Adam sinned. He's on plan A. And to try to help us understand what that plan is, he uses the phrase, it was always in his perfect plan. Which is, he's trying to get us reorientated to something. He's saying, you got to start thinking what's always been his plan. So before the foundation of the world, from a pre-creation perspective, what was God thinking? What was he doing? What was he achieving to do? Because Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because he has an other-centered love that's a sacrificial love that the Father, Son, and Spirit enjoy together. Yeah. And from that joy and love and dance, he created the world with this plan to bring mankind and his creation into that life and to share that life. Yeah. And this is what he's doing.
Yeah, I think of, Larry, when you say all that, I think of what do I think of? I'll get a thought, and because I don't want to interrupt you, and you drone on and on for 10 minutes,
oh,
I'll
forget my
thought.
Hurry up and say something. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
No, I'm just messing with you. But I think about God knowing that in order for him to create someone that he can share his love with and they in turn love him in return, in order for him to create that one, he knows there's going to be a weakness And there's so there's a choice, as it were, of independence or dependence. Trust myself or trust God. So in him knowing, so you said it, Christ is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So he set it up from the very beginning that Christ would come and secure our redemption and our salvation and our life. Right. And in turn, we learn to choose him.
Yes.
And we learn to love him.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think that's the plan. No, he's that good.
Yes.
And he's so good. He's so big. He can start at the end.
Right.
And work his way back. Yeah. The end is finished the beginning.
Yes. He knows the end from the beginning. Yeah, that's right. Well, he talks about it's always his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus. We're his children. We're not just his creation. We're his children.
Yes.
And that is secured in our union with Jesus, as we were born again at the resurrection of Christ, collectively. And then it's his delightful children, because he takes delight in us because of his perfect plan. He doesn't look at us like we look at ourselves or one another. Because all we're seeing is the external. We're seeing the flaws, the failures, the mistakes, the brokenness, the everything that's not right. And he's seeing us in light of the finished work of Christ.
Yeah.
And before his face, what his original plan was and how it concludes with us enjoying this father-child relationship with him.
That's that, good. I wrote in up there above that verse, establish, which is in the footnotes, that word adopt.
Right. Yeah.
He put it in the footnotes. It really means to establish us.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the modern translations, they're supposedly trying to communicate in the modern tongue. But adoption, in biblical terms, does not mean what we understand adoption to mean.
Correct.
So it's significant. God is determined in this plan to grow us up into sons.
Yeah. Let me see if I can make a distinction here. We are born by birth as children of God, and he is our father. And that is our birthright.
Yeah.
It is by birth.
Yes.
We're born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God.
That's right.
All right. So that's so we're born as children. In America, we think predominantly adoption is when children born from some other set of parents are adopted into, become part of our family.
Yeah.
But that's not how that word was used in biblical days.
No.
In biblical days, adoption was the term that they used when a natural-born child of a father got old enough to be a legal heir of that father. They would go through an adoption. That would be their word. But it was the placing of your natural born child as your legal heir, who is able to work with the father in his business, with the legal authority to act on behalf of the father, and fully receive as an heir everything that the father had for them.
Yeah.
And it's like the Jewish bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
But in the Gentile world, they had this adoption process that they would do when they would reach a certain age, And it was a time appointed by the father of, okay, you're old enough to run the family business, inherit the family estate, and then they'd have a little ceremony about that and acknowledge it. So both those terms are used, but sometimes what I've learned is that we feel like the orphan who got brought into a family he has no right to be, but we really don't have any connection. And that's not what he's trying to say here. It's what's misunderstood. What he's trying to say is God birthed you out of himself.
Yeah.
And you have value and worth, and you belong at the table.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
He talks about the same love he has for Jesus, he has for you. All right. So there's no drop off there, as in the family as children. And then he says this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Okay, now we got an unfolding plan.
Yeah.
He had one plan. It's always been his plan.
Yeah.
But through the course of human history, or through the course of time, it's unfolded.
Yeah.
Of we're seeing it more clear. Oh, that's what that was about. That's why that was there. That's why that's there. And that's a whole lot of what you have in all the Old Testament scriptures, is just this thing setting the stage, unfolding, till Christ came.
Yeah.
And now it's this plan's come into full view. And now we see everything different because of what's here. Because he talks about the hidden mystery of his long-range plan. Because see, they were having trouble trying to figure out what God's up to and what's happening. It was a mystery to them until Jesus came. And he called it a detail plan.
Amen.
I'm going to mess around here and get a sermon out of your notes.
Yeah,
there's a detail plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
So he's working all the details. And we're discovering those detail plans. He talks about the detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax when God makes all things new in all the heaven and earth through Jesus Christ.
Some of that unfolding.
Yeah.
About, Walter?
Which one, this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of that unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
He says something about grace and superabundant grace.
You might find that one for me.
It's right up here.
This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us. Yeah, releasing all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. Not that you can tell it anything I say.
some of that plan.
Yeah. All right. He talks about the detailed plan. It's reigning supreme. That means it's ruling. All right, but it's going to reach a climax. We ain't seen nothing yet, James. Okay, there's more to come. There's more to be experienced, and God's not, he's got a plan, and he's executed it, but it's unfolding the effects of what Jesus accomplished in his death and resurrection. Because eventually he makes all things new, all in heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. That's when it climaxes, and it's coming. Yeah, and we're in on it.
Yeah, it's coming through
us.
And the message of the God was in Christ, reconciling the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the world still experiencing, or yet to experience, the fullness of that reconciliation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. It's all right, hard. Well, I had to keep backing up to back up. before we were even born, he gave us our destiny.
Oh, hold up now. Wait just a minute. What?
Yeah, before we were even born, he gave us our destiny. All right. That we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart.
Okay. You talking about before we were even born?
Yeah.
Go back up to verse 4. you said something earlier that made me think of verse 4, but I want you to read it this time.
And in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence.
That we would be seen.
Yeah.
There's that face to face.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. But it don't say nothing about what we did.
No, it's just his plan, his doings.
Because of his love and his grace.
Mm-hmm.
He ordained.
Yeah.
That we would be seen.
Yeah. Right.
I think there's so much in our being. Just like our eyes, mm-hmm. we look out and we see. To think about being seen,
yeah,
of the Father,
yeah.
And then he tells us how we are seen.
Yes. Well, if you would ask the average Christian, how does God see you? Most are so dominated by a sin consciousness and a works orientation that they would use some negative
description. Real well. He probably doesn't think too well of me today.
Yeah, you know. But we don't realize that the totality of what Jesus has done is he only sees us one way, and that's holy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before him, in love.
Yeah, he sees us loved, holy, just like Jesus. And that's the way that's how he's relating to us. We talked about our old man being crucified and we have a new identity. What confuses most Christians is that God's relating to them out of their new identity and they're trying to relate to God out of their old identity.
Yeah.
That's like oil and water. They don't mix together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, read over in chapter 2. We're talking about this plan. What's some of that unfolding of it? About verse 4, I think, right there.
Okay.
After it describes
our old identity.
Our old identity, which I think Paul is talking about our Adamic self.
Yeah.
Our collective being in Adam, the human race. That's where we were.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's talking about.
I go along with that.
And then he's going to talk about what you're fixing to read is what the last Adam.
But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the Exalted One, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. There you go.
See, the more I read it, and the more I think about it, the more I can see is that's who we were in Adam, and then that's who we are in Christ.
Yes.
Because it says we were ascended with him.
That's where we're at now.
It didn't say nothing about when I repented and believed. Well, then, with him.
Yeah.
I died with him.
We are now co-seated.
Co-seated.
Yeah. This is...
So, Adam did something and accomplished something.
Right.
The last Adam.
Did something that was greater.
Gathered up all them other Adams.
Yeah.
Because he's the last.
Yeah.
And he did something. Yeah.
And now every man's in Christ.
Yeah.
And is seated in heavenly places.
Yeah.
And it's finished.
Done.
Now, are we going to believe
it?
Are we going to believe? But are we going to believe the good news? Are we going to change the way we think?
That sucker's got to pay. He got to pay.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep reading where you was. There's some good stuff coming. Right. Unfolding plan.
Yeah. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving.
It's something Jesus did.
Yeah.
God has, this is that plan. God's unfolding in Christ. Verse 10, I love it.
For we have become His poetry. You like that?
I do.
Yeah.
His masterpiece.
His masterpiece.
Yeah.
A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance God planned in advance our destiny and the good works that we should do to fulfill it.
We are joined to Jesus.
Yeah.
I submit to you that was chapter 1, verse 4.
Yep. Yeah. We are joined.
And God has recreated us in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this new life.
Yep.
And it's a new life of discovery of the unfolding plan and the mystery that God is revealing, which we understand in another place is Christ in you.
Yeah, the hope of glory.
The hope of glory.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes on, if I skip on into chapter 3, there has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of this glory and divine mystery, glorious and divine mystery until now. He kept it a secret until this generation. God is revealing it only now to His sacred apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. And here's the secret. The gospel of grace has made you, non-Jewish believers, into co-heirs of His promise through your union with Him. And you have now become members of His body, one with the Anointed One.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's still that religious tone, couching it in terms of you got to do something. Because he said non-Jewish believers. But if he goes on, he says what he did in Christ.
Yeah.
He made us partakers.
Yeah.
The gold is there buried in my backyard. Me finding it
doesn't,
and putting it into circulation don't change its the reality of that it was always there.
Right.
I benefit from it.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we proclaim the gospel, is so that people can begin to believe and experience what's really true.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just mind blowing to think that God so loved the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
That He gave and His only begotten Son.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Himself said it this way, Larry. He said, I didn't come to judge the world, to condemn it. Mm-hmm. I came to save it.
Yeah. Right.
He did it. I mean, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. In the midst of our darkness and our misunderstanding, our hurt, our pain, our rebellion, God, but God.
Yeah. Yeah, He did it.
Oh,
He did it.
That's good.
It is good.
But God. sitting here trying to think if I want to eat lunch or not.
Well, I can't answer that question for you. There's some things I can do for you, and there's some things I can't do for you.
Telling me if you want to eat lunch or not.
I can't breathe for you. I can't eat for you. I can't sleep for you. You know me. I'm like a hog. You get up, go eat. I go eat too.
You go eat with me.
I'll go eat with you. Yeah. Well, let me read this last here. He said, my passion is to enlighten every person to this divine mystery. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was hidden.
Yeah. It was hidden for ages past until now and kept a secret in the heart of God, the creator of all.
Yeah. What was the secret?
Yeah.
The Gentiles?
Yeah, that we are part of the body of Christ.
Protectors of his promise, fellow heirs, and of the same body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That every person is part of the body of Christ. Mind blowing.
Yeah.
So
God loves people.
Yes, every person.
He created everyone that is. I mean, he causes the deer to calf, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, if we could just see, every man is my brother.
Yeah. That's why he wants you.
Every woman is my sister.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll up the ante on you, James. See every man in Christ, but then see Christ in every man.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Not just looking at my brother. I'm looking at my Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And that you done it unto the least of these, you did it unto me.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So, hey, thanks for riding along with us, listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way in experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life that Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love he has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website at findingourway.co.